Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time to turn your garden into a smart garden on News Radio 830 WCCO. Smart Gardens, an hour of expert advice and answers to all of your lawn and gardening questions. You can call 989-9226 or text us at 81807. Now, here's Denny Law with this week's Smart Garden.
Yes, and welcoming Mary Meyer back to our studio. Mary is a member of the Horticultural Science faculty member, the U of M. She knows her stuff. I tell you what, good
to
see you, Mary.
Great
and
to be here,
you,
Denny.
You told me
always
that you
good.
You were just in Chicago, and they have what?
I don't know if this is good news or bad news for us in Minnesota, but when I was there on Monday and Tuesday, there was no snow in Chicago.
No snow.
I just walked around with my mouth hanging open because I couldn't believe the lack of snow there. So, of course, it has snowed. They have had cold weather. It was cold when I was there, but I was at the beautiful Morton Arboretum, and you could see everything, the brown grass.
So it was.
I told you I was worried about what pair of boots to take. Well, we didn't need any boots in Chicago. So just south of us, there is quite a different landscape. And I don't know if it's good or bad to get out of it this time of year, but it is good if you're in Minnesota to go to the flower show at the Arboretum.
Is that coming to an end?
Como. Yes, the last weekend. So tomorrow's the last day of the flower show out at the Arboretum. It's a beautiful show. Tremendous fragrance, lovely flowers. It's really gorgeous. So it's great to get out there. And people are snowshoeing and skiing now. Lots of people are on the trails this week.
They've got some good stuff for that.
Yes, plenty of snow for that. And the trails are groomed. You can take a walk around, get a cup of coffee there. It's a great place to spring is coming, and we know the
promise.
Days, the days are much longer. We can see a big difference.
But
with
you
that.
Can tell the sun is.
The sun's warmer.
It is warmer.
Yes,
it's a little more power
warmer.
Now.
That's true. Yeah,
I want to make mention, too, Mary, that our friends at By the Yard sponsor the show every week, maintenance-free outdoor furniture. I urge you, check it out, bytheyard.net. Thank you to By the Yard. Okay, now, for those new to the show, it doesn't matter what the weather is, we still talk lawns and gardens, even though it did warm up to 7 now. That's 7 above. But if you have any kind of a lawn or garden question for Mary, call it in or text it in. We've cleared the line, so call it in if you want to chat with Mary, 651-989-9226, or if you'd rather, send a text, 81807, 81807. We have a little homework you wanted to catch up on.
Yes, so I think the last time I was on, we were talking about cut flowers because so many people are buying flowers now and enjoying them in their homes. We had a lot of those given for Valentine's Day. So at Bachmann's, they have two floral preservatives that they offer you. One is the traditional one, and it just says, you know, cut flower food. And then they have a bulb food.
Oh,
so this is
specifically.
A little specifically for bulbs. And so I've been looking that up and trying to research what's going on with that bulb food. Well, as many of our listeners probably know, if you purchase cut tulips, they're beautiful. And actually, they're number two after roses sold by Bachmann's now. They're very popular and easy and will last quite a while. But tulips have a tendency to grow while they're in a vase. And they become this artistic arrangement all of their own. Their stems continue to elongate.
Hmm.
And with the heat in our homes, they often will double in length. And they become quite artistic and they're floppy, some people might say. So if you use the bulb food for cut bulbs, this will stop that elongation with tulips. There are hormones in the bulb food that will stop that. And also with lilies as cut flowers. Now, one of our favorite cuts is oh, the big fragrant Easter lily. Not Easter lily, but it's a big lily that is so fragrant. You put that in your house and almost the whole house is fragrant. Mm. So you can really smell that in the grocery stores, garden centers, Bachmann's when you're buying that. But lilies tend to have a quick loss of foliage. Their foliage will often turn yellow. So if you use the bulb food, this will help the lily flower to the flower lasts a long time, but it will help the foliage to stay green and nice. So if you look for that, we're at a florist, or there is a special bulb food for cut flowers that come from a bulb.
So you can ask for that.
You can ask for that. And, of course, if you use the regular one, that's fine. That's still a help to keeping it last longer. But there's a little less sugar and more hormones to balance the needs of cut bulbs like lilies and tulips.
All right, 651-989-9226. If you have a lawn or garden type of question for Mary, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. In fact, the texter wanted to know, what are your thoughts on seeds on tape? What's that about, seeds on tape?
Oh, seeds on tape. This is really cool. I was actually going to talk about longevity of seeds this
morning.
We'll
do that, too.
So we can do that. Seeds on tape are actually, yes, seeds that have been put on a strip of adhesive, so they stick to that, so that you plant this piece of tape and the seeds are already spaced a distance apart.
Hmm.
So it's really an ease in planting. Now, this is much more expensive than just getting seeds in a packet because they're placed mechanically on this strip. Now, the strip will dissolve and is of no consequence, but it's simply an easy means of planting seeds. So something like carrots, very small seed, you need that spaced apart. Strips are really cool. Might be a fun thing for kids to do also with tiny seeds. So, yes, it's expensive, but it is worth it. Right.
Now, there's a follow-up to this texter that said they bought last year and they were bad. They said the carrots and beets never came in, and the radishes tasted terrible.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, I would encourage you to try again and make sure that you're purchasing seed that is sold for the year. So there are federal and state regulations on seed that require labeling and to have them packaged for a certain year. So most of the time, that's no problem. You can look and see exactly what's on the packet, and it will tell you it's packed for 2019.
Okay.
It could say 2019. So I would do that. I would also, you know, you can always write to the manufacturer and tell them. But you have to read the directions, too, because many of these tiny seeds do not need very much soil on top. And then they need quite a bit of moisture until they germinate. So follow the directions.
Follow the directions.
On the label,
when in
right?
doubt, yeah. Read the directions. All right. 651-989-9226. Let's go to the phones. Jerry is calling from Brooklyn Park, I believe. Jerry, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I grow piano lilies during the summer. I've got several varieties of them, and when I heard her talking about bulb food and that kind of thing, I just started to bring them up out of the basement to start their growth again for the summer, and I was just wondering if there's any product that I should be using or when I should use a fertilizer of any sort to create more blossoms for the spring. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
Yes. You know, Jerry, the first time I saw or heard about this bulb food for a cut flower, I immediately confused it with fertilizer you put in the soil because that's called bulb food also. But they're two totally different things. And yes, when cannas are a big plant, they require quite a bit of fertilizer. Fertilizer is not going to be limiting while they're indoors and you're starting them early. But once you plant them outside, it is a good idea to use an additional fertilizer with those. You want something that has a lower ratio of nitrogen, so something like 5, 10, 10. So 5, the first number is the nitrogen, so lower nitrogen. But it's always a good idea, of course, to get a soil test to know how much your soil is lacking in nutrients.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Jerry. Jerry leaves that line open, 651-989-9226. If it's easier, send a text, 81807. Here is one. Is now a good time to cut back my hibiscus tree? Should I fertilize? If so, how often? Couple of questions.
Yes, you can cut back your hibiscus tree now. And I think this person's got their hibiscus indoors, but they might have it outdoors. There is a
if they can find it.
If they can find it. So I assume it's indoors. So hibiscus can be pruned quite heavily, and you actually can do that pretty much any time. I usually do it when I bring the plant in the fall of the year, but you can do it now. Hibiscus are really tough. They can grow well indoors, and then, of course, most people take them outside. And then I think they ask about fertilizer.
Yes.
Also. Again, this plant is a very heavy feeder. It takes a lot of water and regular fertilization. So not so much when you cut it back, it's going to be kind of arrested in growth. But once you see new growth coming out again after you cut it back, then you can fertilize that.
All right.
Right. Liquid fertilizer once a month inside is fine.
Excellent. Hang on, Mary. We'll take a quick break. We have more show to come. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, phone it in at 651-989-9226. Or if it's easier, send Mary a text, 81807. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to our Smart Garden Show. Mary Meyer is in from the University of Minnesota answering your questions either by phone or by text. Call Mary, 651-989-9226. So you can also, as I said, send a text, if that's easier, 81807. You know, you and I talked briefly, Mary, before we went on the air about seeds. You had another thought about, because we've had questions about.
We have had questions, and I have some old seed from research projects that I've worked on, and so I'm germinating it now. It's about 20-year-old seed, and some of it is coming up. Now, this is seed that we've kept at what are prescribed conditions in cold storage, so if any, you know, best of conditions. But I was also reading about the famous experiment that Michigan State has done, because William Beale, a professor there in 1879, put seeds in bottles with very narrow necks and buried the bottles. And now they are digging them up periodically and germinating the seeds. And there are some that are germinating, that are coming up.
No,
and so
kidding.
This is like 100 and almost 40 years old seed. So it's kind of a historic experiment on how long will seed survive. And he used many different kinds. I think he had 20 or 25 different kinds of seed in each bottle, but it was just seed with a little sand. And so the winners are weeds. So, and this is why do weeds last so long, is they just have a tremendous capacity to endure. And so verbascum or mullein, which is a common roadside kind of weed for us, is one of the genera that has lived. And then malva, the cheese weeds, they're another big weed. Those are the two species that are still coming and growing out of these conditions. But that's something that we wonder about. And, you know, I talk about it in a way that might be a bad thing. Weeds can live forever. But there's also some thought that species that actually become extinct, we may find again with seeds that will germinate.
Wow.
I think there's less likelihood of that, because those extinct species tend to have vulnerability or something wrong that they die. And weeds just seem to keep on going forever. But it's interesting that seeds buried or not where we can see them and they germinate can actually come back to life.
Now, I wonder why, of course, given what he had available way back then, why do you think that medium of a bottle and sand, was it all corked or was it?
Actually, it wasn't a corked bottle, but it had a very narrow neck. It was kind of like a mini wine bottle almost, because it was he buried it, as I understand it, to kind of be natural outdoor conditions. But yet he didn't want predators to be able to get to the seeds, so they're enclosed to these glass bottles. but they were kind of buried at an angle so that water didn't accumulate in the bottle itself. So it was a pretty simple idea, and it's just amazing to see the results. So they're secretly hidden in this garden, the Beale Garden at Michigan State, and they have timing. They're going to dig them up. I don't know, 2100 or something is the last bottle.
It's almost like a time capsule.
It's a time capsule of seeds.
Of seeds.
Yeah.
How about that?
It's kind of a fun project.
Now, you have an outing today. You're going to
The Osseo Lions have asked me to come up and do Q&A at their community
center. Kind of like what you do here.
Exactly, like what I do here. So if you're looking for something to do this morning at the Osseo Community Center, I think it's between 10 and 11. They're actually going to start there. But anyone can come in and, we'll talk about what's on your mind with gardening questions.
All right. Very good. You folks in Osseo, so heads up for that. Let's see. I want to try to catch up on some text messages, Mary. Where is the one I was? Okay, my yews have lost most of the foliage. You think they may come back?
Gee, that's rough this time of year. I don't know if they'll come back or not. You could certainly wait and see. There might be some buds that will push out on the stem as well. But loss of evergreen foliage at this time of year is usually a bad sign.
Oh,
it's usually something else. There might be – we don't think rabbits feed on yews, but there might be something that's been eating at the bark so that the – Yeah, so I would wait and see what they look like in the spring.
Yeah. You've got to wade through a little bit of snow yet anyway, so you might as well wait, right?
Right. Yeah.
Ed is calling in from Bloomington with a question, I believe. Ed, you're on with Mary.
Thank you. I have a number of plants under a grow light, and I just wondered, does the grow light need to be turned off, or can it run 24 hours a day to stimulate more light for the plant?
Oh, that's a great question, Ed. We've been trying to answer that question at the university and doing tests with that very same question. For the most part, we do long days. So a 16-hour day with a timer on to have a dark period. That is kind of a standard for growing conditions. We feel that maximizes the amount of time plants can grow. But that nighttime dark hours, it is needed for some plants. So I know you got a variety there, but 24 hours, yeah, you'd think they can photosynthesize the whole time. But I would say 16-hour days, better way to go.
All right, very good. Ed, thank you for the call. Ed leaves that line open. I know we have to head for a break here, but we do have another half hour of the show to go. But don't wait. If you have any kind of a lawn or garden question, call it in or text it in, 651-989-9226. Meanwhile, the text number is 81807. We'll catch up on those, too, when we come back. On this Saturday in CCO land, we're in the midst of our Smart Garden Show here on the CCO. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show presented every week by our friends at By the Art. Check them out at the Convention Center this weekend, the Home and Garden Show. In the Twin Cities, 7 degrees above zero, Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota is with us inside this warm studio. And we have texters, Mary, as usual. We have callers, too. I see one line, though, is open. If you want to ask your lawn and garden question to Mary by phone, 651-989-9226. Text is 81807. All right, Mary, let's see who's waiting. Joanne is waiting in Minneapolis with a question. Thanks, Joanne. What's your question?
My daughter has a pear tree in her backyard, very old tree, and it bears small little pears that are really hard, and they just keep falling it keeps producing for quite a while, and it affects her neighbors. It falls on her roof. And her yard is full of them. And I was wondering if there's something we can do to stop the fruit from bearing, or the tree from bearing the fruit.
Interesting question, Joanne. Most people are interested in the other thing, how to get more fruit from their trees. But in your case, yes, I can understand this can be a nuisance. Well, there are hormones you can put on the tree to stop fruiting, but I don't think that's a practical answer for you. So the only other thing, of course, is to remove the tree. So I'm not really an advocate of removing the tree. So that's really your only practical option that I see, is to remove the tree. So there are a lot of people that do love pears, however, and you have to realize pears are kind of a different fruit for us, even though this is probably a variety that's hardy. It's been here a long time. But pears, there are some that are white. We have one, Summer Crisp, introduced from the Arboretum. It is a firm, small, firm pear. It doesn't look like or taste exactly like the pears you get in the store. It's just a different pear. So maybe do some research on the pear, or get your neighbors to like the pear or harvest them or use them. Pears are picked green because they ripen off the tree better, and then they ripen from the inside out, so they often get ripened before we realize.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, there it's an unconventional way to ripen. So you often will cut them and they're brown on the inside. They ripen from the inside out. So it's kind of a tricky thing to learn when they're ripe.
Interesting. Good luck, Joanne. Thank you for the call. 651-989-9226. Who else is there? Anne from Farmington. Anne, you're on CCO. Good morning.
Oh, good morning, Mary. I received a potted plant on Valentine's Day, and it's a live rose bush. It has a head and chick in there, which is doing good. And it has, like, little stems with looks like cranberries, but they're probably not. I don't know what they are. But it's drying out, and I want to know how to save it so I can plant it in the spring in the ground.
So I'm not sure if what you're seeing, if it's a rose bush, what you're seeing is actually the rose hips or the seeds of the roses. They look like little cranberries, small and red. And sometimes these are a very attractive part of the rose plant as well. So I would urge you to take it out of any foil container or anything else that it's in and water it really well in the sink till the water runs out of the bottom. And then make it sure you keep it in good light conditions where it's nice and bright and the sun is great this time of year. And just when you water it thoroughly and then let it dry slightly in between waterings. So if some of the foliage turns brown and dries, that might be okay as long as the tips are still green. So hopefully in another month you'll be able to put it every day it will get more and more light. So hopefully it will still make it.
All right, very good. Thanks, Ann. 651-989-9226. Again, text number is 81807. We've talked about this process in the past, but a new listener wants you to describe and talk about starting seeds in milk jugs and setting outside. What's the process? How do you do that?
Yes, this is a cool thing, and you can read about it online and how to start them. So this is like making a little mini greenhouse. So you have a milk jug that you put soil in, you put the seeds in, and then you put the whole thing outside.
You have to cut it.
Yes, you cut the top off.
Okay.
So you have a can access it right.
Okay.
In there. But then, I haven't actually done this myself, but Teresa does it regularly. But you put it outside, and the seeds will start germinating when it's warm enough, and yet there's some protection in there with the containers. So I think you can do this pretty much any time now. I mean, really, you can do it any time. Obviously, you have to have access to potting soil. You have to have your seeds. And when you do it this time of year, absolutely nothing is going to happen. So you still have plenty of time to get to read up about this, decide which seeds you want to germinate or start early. And you can still do this April 1st. You can still do this. And then you'll be much more in sync with timing-wise if you did something like tomatoes that take quite a long time to germinate. That we usually think that's 6 weeks indoors before you plant them outdoors. So around April 1st, you could certainly think about doing it. But the idea is it's a little mini greenhouse. The temperature conditions outdoors keep it from getting too far ahead too early.
I would not only for big kids like us, but I would imagine that this would be a great thing for kids to get into.
Yes,
gardening, huh?
Right, to actually watch and do.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, great right. idea.
Mm-hmm. Texter wants to know, I have a bur oak tree that needs to be trimmed, but I haven't gotten to it yet this winter. I have heard in the past that trimming an oak tree in March is not advised as it increases the risk of oak wilt. Can I trim it this weekend or should I wait until next winter?
You could still do it this
weekend. It's going to be a cold weekend.
Right. So the dead of the winter is the time to do pruning on oaks, because whenever you do pruning, you open up, obviously open a branch up, as expose the plant, and that has more chance of then getting the bur oak blight or oak wilt is the big concern of us. So April, May, June is the really do not prune time. So we're still in the early part of March, so I would do it as soon as possible now for the winter. The My Minnesota Woods page, I should look at that now. We've turned a corner with March, but I think that will still say, I'll look at it in the break, I think that will still say this is the best time to prune in the dead of winter.
Okay, very good. If you want to send a text to Mary, 81807, or call 651-989-9226. Here's a text that says, is it too late to start pansies by seed? If so, when is the plant available? I always miss them at the garden store.
Yes, I wish our garden centers had pansies out for a longer period of time. There are some newer pansies that are more heat tolerant. But yes, that's the first plant that you can put out because it does have a lot of cold tolerance. It will withstand frost and so on. Starting pansies from seed indoors, that's kind of a challenge. Yeah, but you could certainly try. You could sow the seed right now. You'll need very good light conditions indoors to do that. But you can also call a garden center and they will tell you when they will have pansies. I would expect by mid-April they will certainly have pansies.
Okay. Texter wants to catch up. Must have come at the last part of you talking about the arboretum. This is the last weekend. Maybe we could redo
that. Yeah, last weekend for the flower show. So today and tomorrow are the last days of the flower show. So you want to be sure and go out there and see that. That's free with admission if members, of course, get in free. Starting Wednesdays. Now, Wednesdays in March are what they call March Madness at the Arboretum.
What's that about?
If you come in to shop at the gift shop, you get free admission. So just tell the gatehouse you're coming to shop for March Madness on Wednesdays at the Arboretum. But, of course, if you come in, if you become a member, you can go out there anytime.
Anytime.
But this is the last weekend of the flower show. Hours tomorrow, 10 to 4. Today, 8 to 4:30 at the Arboretum.
And if you don't know where it is, quickest intersection address?
5 and 41. So it's on the southwest side of the metro in Chanhassen.
Very good.
Chanhassen
area. You're right.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right. 81807 is the text number. Let's see. Let's catch up on those. I have, Texter says, a spider plant that I was planning to repot, and I let it go dormant this winter, but instead it looks very distressed with the leaves and little plants on the vine turning brown. Should I repot it now or give it water and bring it to life a bit?
I would give it water and bring it to life a bit. That spider plant is a very tough plant that can endure quite a bit. I think you'll see the green start to come in it and grow, and then you could repot it. You could take the whole thing out of the pot, check it out, look at the roots and do it. But the best way, get it growing and then repot it in a few weeks.
All right. Very good. Let's take a break, Mary. We have more show to come. If you have any kind of a lawn and garden question, call it in, 651-989-9226, or send us a text, 81807. Either one works here on our Smart Garden Show. And welcome back to our Smart Garden Show here on CCO Radio. Danny Long here with Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. We have texters. We have callers. I see a line open if you want to use that method, 651-989-9226. Text line is 81807. Texter says this, Mary, I've heard there is some type, and I know we've had calls about this, wild mustard that is found in the ditches. I heard that if you would touch it, you would get a very bad burning rash. Is that true? Have you heard of that with that plant?
Not with wild mustard. I think this person is confusing this with a plant called wild parsnip. Oh. And wild parsnip is, yes, extreme dermatological reaction. So unfortunately, there are some plants that do this. But wild mustard, the yellow-flowered crucifer family in the same grouping as our cabbages and so on, that does not give you a rash. But wild parsnip does. So it's a extremely bad plant, and there's more information on that and other noxious plants at our extension.umn.edu website. So folks can really check it out there.
I remember, in fact, my wife got burned with it too. Is it burning something?
There's a gas plant.
Really?
The gas, it's called gas plant. It actually has you can kind of, I don't know that you can really light a match, but it has a little bit of gas that comes out of it. And that is another plant that causes dermatitis, bad dermatitis on people. That's a beautiful perennial, but yeah, some people have more of a reaction than others.
Yeah.
Parsnip, that wild parsnip is pretty much everybody gets that, kind of like poison ivy.
Sure.
But much worse than poison ivy.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. All right, let's go back to the phones, Mary. I think Twyla, is it? Twyla, are you on the horn for Mary?
I am.
How can we help you?
See, short story. I bought a plant at Cub, no green thumb. I think it's a heart-shaped pathos. Anyway, I had to repot it, which I did, and the thing went crazy. Well, then I looked at the bag. It was 10 years old, and it had Miracle-Gro, so I thought, that answers that. Now my question is, the side things, I wonder if I can cut off some of those things at the bottom, you know, that kind of go off by the side, you know, to prune it down a little bit. I love it, but it's going crazy and I don't have any bigger pot.
Yes, pothos is a really tough houseplant. It's actually quite popular now with lots of different kinds available. Yes, you can do some pruning on that and cut that back. That's one of our best plants for low light and very tolerant of too much water, too little water, and so on. And good for you. Glad you've got that growing well.
That's great, Father. Thank you. Let's see who's next. Jenny is calling from Fridley, I believe. Jenny, you're on CCO with Mary.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a Japanese yew on the north side of the house, and I let it go last year, and now it's coming over my sidewalk, and I wonder if I can cut that back and when.
Yes, Jenny, you can cut that back. You could do it right now if you can reach it and see the plant. The tough thing is when we have this much snow on the yews, it's hard to see the whole plant. And so you'll probably want to do some shaping on that. It might be easier to do it once the snow is gone. You can do that pruning anytime between now and between now and July 15th. So that's kind of the window. You don't want to do it in later summertime, but right now is fine, and early spring is fine as well.
Okay, thanks, Jenny. Texter wants to know, we have some bushes, didn't say what kind, on the side of the house, several different kinds. Some are 2 years old, some are 5 years old. They're totally covered in snow. The question is, will they survive covered like that?
Yes, they likely will. Now, of course, they can't stay covered for 12 months, and of course, that won't happen. But this time of year, the plants are dormant. Even evergreens can survive being totally covered up for a few months. And in fact, with the cold conditions that we have, it's actually better that they're covered up rather than exposed to below zero air temperatures. So they should be fine. You might see some breakage from the weight of the snow. It can be easier for animals like rabbits to access those branches, but the snow itself is not fatal.
Okay. Let's see. Texas says, when I saved some catalpa tree seeds last fall, I put one of those desiccant tubes that come in pill bottles in with the seeds before putting them in the fridge in a baggie, hoping that helped to keep them from getting moldy. Fingers crossed, I just potted them and I'm watching for sprouts. What do you think of that method of with that desiccant?
I don't know if you need the desiccant in there. Sometimes things are too dry in our climate. So we don't want real high humidity, But usually the humidity levels in the refrigerator are okay. We don't use desiccants along with our seed storage under normal conditions. I'm sure the seed specialists, there are probably some where they do. But if anything, too dry can be a problem with seeds. So especially in our climate, it's kind of dry here in the winter.
A little bit.
So I don't think you did any harm probably, but probably not necessary to use that. But if you do it again, do some with the desiccant, some without. See if there's a difference.
Texter wants to know, are dried up Christmas tree needles good for mulch?
You can use them for mulch. I like organic mulches, and yeah, you can do that. People shred Christmas trees, make them into mulch, and that's fine. You can do that. It's unlikely you'll change the pH of your soil with that. Some people worry about that acidic soil conditions, but it's like a drop in the bucket compared to the native parent material that you have there is going to create that pH.
When, Texter says, can you trim a magnolia bush?
Right after it flowers. So if you prune now, you're going to cut off the flower buds that are already there. Those are those big fuzzy buds, bigger than the vegetative buds. So I'd wait till after the tree flowers. So magnolias come out real early before the foliage. So by June 1st, they'll be done. So right after the flowers.
You know what we should do? We haven't done, at least outside of once maybe, is mention the website.
Yes, extension.umn.edu. This morning I was listening to Annie Claude talk about pruning grapes and looking at the winter injury on grapes, how to prune grapes. So lots of great information at extension.umn.edu. Click on Garden.
For you folks in Osseo, come and see Mary.
Oh, look out. Yes, where are you going to be? We're going to be up there. Osseo Community Center answering garden questions.
From what time to what time?
This morning, I think 10:30 to 11:30.
Outstanding. Have fun. We'll see you again, Mary.
Always a pleasure.
Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.